Man, I'm going to start with prayer. God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this opportunity just to get to share about you. Lord, it's an honor. It's an honor to be with these people. God, I pray that you move in a tangible way tonight, Lord. I pray that people feel comfort, feel aware of your presence. Lord, speak. We trust you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. So I struggled a lot with this talk, actually. I really loved writing it, but it's a big concept, this concept of God's love makes us safe. And I think one of the reasons I really struggled with it is because God and I have wrestled pretty much my whole life with this idea of safety. I weep a lot these days, so just if that happens, don't be alarmed. Just let it go. Growing up, I thought I was really aware of risks. In high school, I actually turned down some plans once because I said I liked safe fun, and I didn't deem that as safe, which sounds kind of nerdy now, but yeah, that's me. I just wanted some safe fun. But it's actually kind of funny looking back on now because I did kind of a lot of things that weren't super safe. I think safe must have been an ambiguous term for me because you know, I'll share some of the things I did. Freshman year, I never slept with my door locked. You guys have cool codes now to get into your dorm rooms, but not for me. And a girl actually came in to my room at 4 a.m. on a Saturday and peed on my DVD player, which was a plot twist. And my response was to call my sister and say, I have a funny story. And she was like, well, now you know to lock your door, right? And then I slowly leaned over and clicked. And she was like, I heard you lock it. So I just had no awareness of these threats. I also thought I could drive myself home after getting my wisdom teeth out. Yeah, so I thought I liked safe fun. But, you know, I think it's hard to know when you're safe if you're not aware of what is a threat to you. So I wanted some input. I asked some of you, what makes you feel threatened? What makes you feel safe? And the first list is what makes us feel threatened. Being out of my comfort zone. Someone said riding a motorcycle, skydiving, wouldn't be safe. Failure in work or school. Being in unfamiliar environments. Being financially unstable. And then the next three all have to do with people. Being around manipulative people, volatile or unpredictable people, or being around someone I don't trust. Thought that was interesting. And the next one is what makes us feel safe. The first one, having a support system. When I'm around close friends and family, spending time with God, being around people who are strong, sleeping in a house full of people, and being with people who truly know me and my character. I don't have an extremely large sample size, so I can't claim that this is statistically significant, but I think it's important to note how many answers revolve around who is with you. The Webster's definition of safe is protected from risk, not likely to be harmed or lost. And based off the answers people gave, I think we can venture to say that the most important factor in being safe, what gives the most protection, what best keeps us from being harmed or lost, is who is with you. So here are some people that I feel the safest with. Dee, that's you. They know me. These are the people that know me and that love me. And because of those things, I feel empowered when they're with me. I feel like I can overcome obstacles because they're with me. I'm not as afraid. But I know it's not in their power to fully protect me. And I know that I've also put my hope in them to do that. I have put them in the position of God. I've said, you protect me. I'll rest with you as my safety. And every time, 100% of the time that happens, it doesn't work out. You know, we were not designed to be the protector. That power, it lies with God. And he says that multiple times. There were so many scriptures that had to do with this. I picked three. First one is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you in my righteous hand. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you can see there are these connections between, you don't have to be afraid because I'm with you, over and over again in Scripture. He's saying that I am the one who makes you safe. Nothing else can. It's me. So he says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. And I think the struggle that I always come back to is the tension between knowing that he is an all-loving, all-powerful, and all-present God, and yet seeing so much hurt and evil. It's hard for me to reconcile that those two things are happening simultaneously. Because going back to that definition of what is safety, what does it mean if you are walking with safety and yet still exposed to risk? So, truly, we'll see if I cry. So, I wrestle with questions like, what does it mean to be provided for and yet struggling financially? What does it mean to be in God's protection and at the same time have your no mean nothing to your boyfriend? Or to be in fifth grade and already be assaulted with body image issues? This is the one that's going to make me cry. Were you with my sister with special needs as she was bullied on the bus? And what did your power look like when the ones I loved passed away? What does it look like for the ones I love that are living without them now? Where are you in the natural disasters and the political corruption and the sex trafficking? I'll be okay now, don't worry, guys. In our trials, I tend to question God's motives, his power, and his presence. How can I trust him if he allows this to happen? Does he have the power to keep us safe? Is he really with me and the people I care about? So I want us to take a look at Romans 8:31-39. He says, it starts off with, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And these things that he's talking about are our present sufferings and our future glories. He said right before this that I'm working all things for the good of those who love me. So if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So in response to knowing that he is for us, that his motive is for our benefit, and that his power can redeem even the worst trials, who can be against us? And if they are against us, is it even really a threat? Because he is the God who cannot be defeated, even by death. So he was willing to sacrifice his own son so that we could be with him. And he's so faithfully committed to us, even though we sin against him, that, and because of that love, we can trust him as the provider. And I think I trust him for me. I trust that he is the provider for me. I'm like, I'll be okay. I got God. Where I struggle is when I see someone I love suffering. I want to shift into the role of protector. I falsely assume that I love more people more than God does, that I would take better care of them if I was in his position. And in the middle of grieving the other day, grieve a lot, cry a lot, I found myself asking God, or telling God, all I want is for my people to be safe, acting like that's not his motive too. And he gently responded, so do I. I did the one thing that could protect them, that could provide that safety. And because of that, because of the heart of the one we are following, we can trust him. So the next part, verse 33 and 34. Who brings any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, and more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So So this kind of has like a courtroom setting to it. Who can bring a charge against us if we're declared righteous by the highest judge? Who can condemn us, which means who can sentence us to punishment, when Jesus already served that sentence for us? And not only that, when he defeated death, he came back and advocated for us. We who put him there, he then came back to advocate for us. And when I think about that, that's when the tears of thanksgiving come. I'm just in awe of that kind of love. He's the only one who could condemn us, but instead he intercedes for us. And this is the present tense. He says this is happening right now, and even as we still continue to sin against him. And that's just pretty incredible love. So the next line, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine, nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We who are considered to be sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So I think this raises up the question, is it possible for us to be separated from his love? If we face trouble and hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, which, you know, could be out of poverty because you just don't have the ability to buy clothes, or it could be out of humiliation. Danger, sword, which was death. Is that evidence that we have been cut off from his love? Satan would like us to believe that. He wants us to think that our safety is tied to our circumstance. But that's just not the case. Safety does not come from an absence of tragedy, but from the presence of God. I think I put it in bold, and I'm going to say it again. Safety does not come from the absence of tragedy, but from the presence of God. And we tend to fear these trials, these things listed out are horrible things, and we fear them more than we fear God. And God is reassuring us, you don't have to be afraid, I'm stronger than them. I overcome them. The presence of these hardships is not evidence that I have left you. I mean, look at the life of Jesus. He suffered immensely, almost all of these, all the hardships listed, and not once did he fall outside of the Father's love. And neither do we. And we are conquerors. We will overcome because he's by our side. The next part says, I'm convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. You can think of every terrifying thing this world or any other power has to offer, and none of them can separate us from Christ, from the love of God. So to summarize, I now know what my threats are. I've grown since freshman year. I now know my threats. The biggest one we have is to not be with God, to be separated from him. And there's no alternative good life without him. Without God, the absence of God is the absence of hope. It's the absence of love. It's the absence of protection. There's no alternative that's good without him. And that would have been our reality. God is a holy God, which means he's set apart. That's what to be holy means. He cannot be around something that's tainted by sin. So he couldn't be around us if we were tainted by sin. But God sent his own son to die on our behalf so that we could be holy and blameless before him, so that we could be with him. And so we have been protected from the worst thing there is. That is our reality. And as the other tragedies come, which they will, we can remember that they are a result of sin entering the world, not a part of his original plan. His motive is not what's in question. He always is out for our benefit and our good. But sin came in, which he didn't want it. And he is choosing to redeem the world instead of just wiping it out and starting over. He is working through it. He is walking with us through it. We saw what he did through Jesus. He brought what was dead on the cross back to life. He brought hope out of what was hopeless. I mean, Jesus was the one they were so set on this is the God, our Savior, and then he died. There was no hope. Hope was lost when Jesus died. And hope was brought back when Jesus was brought back. And that's the kind of God that we have. That's the lens that we look through in our circumstances, even how if they're horrible. We can know that his motive is love, his power is greater than all things, including death, and his presence is constant. And because of those things, we are safe. So some practical steps to live into that reality that you are safe. Number one, start a relationship with him. If you haven't, anyone on staff, we'd love to talk to you. Spend time with him. Learn about the character of the one that you're with. Learn how to trust him. Learn about his motives and his care for you. Two, reflect on his heart, his presence, and his power. I think reading through some scripture, maybe like Daniel 3 is an example of they were in physical danger, but they were assured of their safety because they were with God. Try journaling. Try to write out how he is protecting you and how you're seeing him move. Try to see. Number three, practice viewing your circumstances through the lens of the cross. Think through what you think is hopeless in your life, because he can bring hope to that. And finally, live out what he says to do. So often we trust him to save us, but not enough to guide us. And he's always out for our benefit, so I don't know why we fight it so much. I do it too. But we think we've found a safer route, so we go our own plan instead of his. And some examples that came to mind were Sabbath. We hate the Sabbath. We do not want to take a day of rest. I think it makes us feel really unsafe. I think we like to think our work is what provides our security. We like to think the money that comes in will be our safety. And God's like, take a day of rest. Let me remind you of who you are. Let me remind you that I am your safety. And I think with tithing also, money is the thing that we think will make us safe. And I think that surrendering that first 10% back to him is a reminder that you're my God, not this paper. And it frees us. Doing the things that he says to do, it protects us. It helps us live into the freedom of our reality. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll go through some discussion questions. God, I thank you for this time. God, I thank you that I can weep in front of people. It is something that was not safe for me to do a few years ago. And God, you've broken that. You've healed that. Lord, I pray for the people in here. If anyone in here doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they walk into a relationship with you. I pray that they feel your safety, your presence. God, I pray for those of us who do know you, that we can live more fully into this reality that we are safe. We're safe because of who we are with, and that's you. God, you are good. You are fighting for us. And we thank you for the care and the love that you have for us, even though we sin against you. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.